for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Welcome back to Pleb Underground. It's time for another rip. A fiat currency is just a government casino chip that you can use to stop gambling. Please buy the dip. Phil, that's enough of me rambling. Let's welcome Tip.
Woo! That was awesome. Please be my guest for the next rate, the next rep.
That was awesome. Yeah, very, very well done. And of course, as everybody guessed it, we've got Tip NZ as our guest. Tip, thank you so much for joining us on the Pleb Underground. This has been long overdue. You and I have been chatting back and forth for a little while. We are so happy to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. Lucky pleb.
Yeah, this is Pleb Underground coming to you from three different continents right now.
Okay, we are going to dive into the numbers. Let's do it, people.
The numbers, of course, brought to you by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com. The new stat today, or should I say yesterday, the number of cattle that you can buy with a whole Bitcoin. I believe it's about 200, give or take. So if you want a solid herd of cattle, you can currently purchase that for a Bitcoin. That's the Missouri price, and we'll be researching global cow prices and updating the site further. But Phil, what other numbers have we got this week?
Very, very, very good stuff about the timechainstats.com. Great work by Ant, our boy Ant. All right, here we go. So at the time of this recording, the block height is 758,679. The Bitcoin price, 19,168. The total public Lightning capacity, 4,996.8. We're just right below that 5K. Moscow time, 52.16. And for the new listeners, Moscow time means sats per dollar. And the chain rewrite days, 718. These are the very uneventful numbers of Bitcoin right now. Walton, thoughts on those numbers? No thoughts.
I mean, I like numbers, but not much is changing, right? Not much is changing right now.
You're a numbers guy. I mean, do they make you happy? Do they make you sad? Do they make you hopeful?
I don't like chain rewrite days going down. But I guess that shows that the hash rate's increasing at a decent rate right now. So
it's going to readjust.
That's a good thing as
well.
So you know, stats can be looked at positively and negatively. The very same stat. I think there's one other very important statistic that I hope you don't mind me sharing. This week, and of course, like, what I need to show you, like, is a meme from Yellow, like.
Bitcoiners, like, why are they the experts in, like, monetary theory and, like, how to do, like, better politics and how to solve, like, our, like, failing democracy? Like, why? So you're saying that journalists aren't well-trained enough? Well, so a Bitcoiner, that they be the people that we should... I don't get that. Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, if you want to make criticism, you need to be...
informed.
Well, yeah. Informed, right? And right. I believe I am. I've been writing about Bitcoin for probably like a lot longer than like a lot of people here have been like into Bitcoin. I've been writing about it since 2015. A lot of people, like, you probably got into it later than that, right?
Much later.
Yeah, there you go. So, like, it's not that I don't understand it. It's just that.
Better than you do, though.
Bitcoiners, like, why are they.
Yeah, so a nice little sick burn there from Joe Nakamoto at the end. Jemima of the Financial Times, I think you know more about Bitcoin than you pretend to. I think this is all part of deliberate misinformation from the Financial Times. Nonetheless, journalists, mainstream media, what do we think, guys?
I'm gonna let Tip go first. Tip, what are your thoughts on that? What happened?
I thought that it was such an interesting panel because, like, they were, I just said it. I knew I was going to jinx myself when I watched that. But everyone was on their different, everyone started out the same, kind of being in writing about Bitcoin and Financial Times or Bloomberg, whatever. And you saw the three journalists going on very different paths. Pete Rizzo kind of just took what, you know, he wrote, he admitted he wrote some FUD, and he just immediately was like, am I going down this wrong path? I need to learn more about where I can be wrong. I think Izzy was kind of heading towards that same path, but still not quite there yet. And Jemima is probably kind of just trapped in this world where she is incentivized to keep, I think she was quite successful in the fiat world in bashing Bitcoin, that early success made her stick to her guns and didn't improve and iterate. I think that was kind of the observation that I made when I watched that panel, because it seems a bit ridiculous that she would look at Bitcoiners and ask all these questions, why are Bitcoiners the experts in this field, but she doesn't look at her own industry and ask how can those people be wrong? And I think my partner tweeted out something quite similar where he said, like, Jemima asks Bitcoiners, why are they experts in monetary theory and how can they be better at politics and solve failing democracy? But she doesn't ask the question why the banking cartel fiat monetary theory is wrong after so many years of failing. And it seems like if you're a journalist, you have to ask these questions, but she obviously doesn't because she's incentivized not to. That was a rambling, sorry.
No, that wasn't rambling at all.
It's all about incentives.
They say no man is bigger
than his incentives, and apparently no woman is either.
I just, you know, my whole problem is this, right? That video, because I did see the non-yellow version. Shout out to Yellow, by the way, for that version. But I did see the non-yellow edited version, and you'll notice that at there's a point where she's essentially starting to feel that people can tell that she obviously doesn't know her stuff, and that's perfectly fine. None of us really are experts. See, that's the whole thing. The fiat system has created these phony experts that believe for real that they are experts. Whereas in Bitcoin, we understand. We understand that there are trade-offs. We understand that not everybody is going to know everything. And we also understand that expertise does not necessarily mean that you know everything. You know, and it was strange, I find, that she pulled this flex about when she got into Bitcoin. Like, that did not help make your point in any way, shape, or form. This did not help you. Like, if you're going to go and tell people, I've been in Bitcoin since 2014, and yet you can't articulate these,
you can't articulate these
simple points.
It's a self-own rather than a flex.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying, I'm so slow that I've been around for this long and I still don't get it, rather than I've been around and so therefore I know what I'm talking about.
And Tip makes a great point about that. When somebody did such a good job in the mainstream media beating Bitcoin down, so to speak, they're not really incentivized to do more research. And we even see this in Bitcoin with people who have this kind of like slide deck of Bitcoin talking points, and you never end up going and doing more research into it. So it happens on both sides. But the critics of Bitcoin, once they find these talking points that they believe are strong enough to quote unquote, you know, destroy all the Bitcoin arguments, they just stick to them and they never actually dig any deeper and find out possibly why those points make sense or not. Right? So it's, anyways, it's just kind of sad. I have to say that I was embarrassed for her. So, anyways. Okay. Anything else on that one, Walton? No? Okay. All right. Moving on. Tip actually had something for us for the numbers. Tip, we are going to let you explain it. What did you want to talk to us about? Look, as you know, most of the stuff that we talk about is centric to either North America or Europe. We don't often get to have a point of view from the other side of the other pond. So yeah, I think that this is going to be an interesting topic. Let's dive right on into it. What do you got for us, Tip?
Okay, so the stat that I'm sharing today is that Bitcoin is 34,500 New Zealand dollars, And it's interesting because over the past year, New Zealand dollars has been losing value quite rapidly against the US dollar. So a dollar of New Zealand dollars bought 70 US cents at the beginning of this year. Today, it can only buy 50 US cents. So it's lost 20 cents against the dollar. And the key catalyst has been that the Fed has been hiking rates. So investors see US dollars as more attractive and safe, so they've been selling New Zealand dollars. And as a response, our central bank, who we called Reserve Bank of New Zealand, has been consistently hiking rates by like 50 basis points kind of every couple of months. And this increase in rates has been tough for our economy. Like, we've seen house prices crash, we've seen stock market crash, we've seen investments written down. And this everything crash has been accelerating over the past couple of months. But over that same time period, if you've been dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin, your savings would have gone up in terms of New Zealand dollars. And I know that Bitcoin price has been pretty stable in US dollars around like 19 to 20K. But given that New Zealand dollars has lost so much value so fast against the US dollar, Bitcoin has actually become a store of value against New Zealand dollars over the like worst months in New Zealand's economy when everything was crashing. Bitcoin was heading the opposite direction. And so I just thought that it was like, you know, we hear people talking about Bitcoin as an insurance, it's a lifeline, but it's actually not for like 10 years from now or for our children or whatever. It's actually literally for today. And this, the crazy thing is that New Zealand is a developed economy, and the rhetoric amongst like the average person in like first world countries is like, you know, our currency is fine, we don't need Bitcoin, unlike Venezuela or some third world country. You can always sense this kind of like naive superiority in their voice, but it's kind of
privilege.
Yeah, and it's ironic because central bank manipulation is rampant in every country, and it is proof why Bitcoin is needed in first world countries as well. And those people are just plain wrong at this point. And to like the media panel with Jemima and Izzy, who are saying like, we need Bitcoin only when there's a crisis. Well, we're in a crisis right now, and we are a first world country, and we've seen that Bitcoin is a store of value. So here's evidence, here's facts. If you don't look at this and you're a journalist, what are you doing? You're not doing your job. And there's so many people like this who just refuse to look at facts, refuse to look at the history of what Bitcoin has accomplished. And they just keep parroting these stupid talking points, which was like a decade old. So it's just, that's, it's frustrating, but I mean, this is evidence. So yes.
Probably seen, there's a graphic, and I'll put it in the show notes, that where you see a few fiat currencies with the dollar behind it about to eat them, and then underneath it says what normies see, and then you see just behind that Bitcoin, you know, coming to eat the dollar, and that, you know, obviously we see that part as well. But and so many people in the fiat world may actually be using dollars preferentially over other kind of first world fiat currencies, so to speak. But actually, yeah, if they were using Bitcoin, they'd also be beating what their current home currency is doing.
Yeah.
But has the New Zealand Central Bank, I'm assuming there's a New Zealand Central Bank because they all just have a bunch of central banks.
There is.
So have they slowed down their money printing?
Or is it
approximately the same? Because, you know what I mean, in the States here, we're raising rates, but I mean, that makes no difference. You can't really slow down the money printing. So,
I mean, the biggest money printing was during COVID. And so we had pretty severe inflation after that. Like, you know, they say that it's like single digits, but some like key items have been double digits, like fuel prices and like normal groceries and stuff. It's just, that's been pretty horrific. Like a grocery shop that you usually would cost $100 is now $200 kind of. I think there's a lot of things that people kind of don't realize is happening until it happens. And yeah, the solution that they're doing right now is raising rates. And it's, I think, around 3.5%. They've been raising 50 basis points every couple of months. And that's been pretty hard because New Zealand as well, New Zealanders use houses as a store of value. And so everyone tries to get on their housing market. And during COVID, they the rates were pretty low. I remember getting a mortgage for like 2%, and now our mortgage rates has gone up to 6%. And so that felt like the scam, where they trap you, they get you in a low rate, and then they are able to hike the rates and just say, you have to give us more money. Like, there's no other option. So that is the squeeze, where we try to have a store of value in terms of land and property, but they can squeeze you out of that land and property if you're not consistently, you know, making fiat and paying them more and more fiat. So it's crazy. A lot of people in New Zealand are feeling pain, and it's horrible to watch.
I am so sorry. And, you know, the whole time you're explaining this, all it makes me think of is, you know, we're essentially going through this play, okay, where fiat dollars are collapsing, and people just don't see it, because what's happening is that all the value is just going into the US dollar, right? Like, the US dollars are becoming more and more expensive. You just explained it for New Zealanders, you know? So this is, like, to me, it all seems like this whole, you know, the US dollar is absorbing all of the value, but then to Walton's point and the graphic he's talking about, you've got Bitcoin in the background ready to swallow up the US dollar, because what nobody realizes is that at the end of the day, the US dollar is no better quality in any way, shape, or form than any of these other currencies, because they're all fiat. Or
it's marginal, right? Like, it's marginal. There's no fundamental difference.
No.
You just keep printing more.
It's brainwashing. It's just brainwashing. I know that people don't want to see it that way, but look, at the end of the day, it's fake.
It's a ship that's sinking slightly more slowly.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, look, that was a great topic. I really was not aware in any way, shape, or form of what was going on with the New Zealand dollar, and that's because here in the States, everything is ethnocentric.
And we're somewhere in between.
You actually have to reach out to get world news, you know? So I appreciate you bringing that point of view to us. And on that note, we are going to move on over to the Shitcoin Corner. The Shitcoin Corner is brought to you by Represent. Check them out, representltd.com. They just released some brand new clothing for the Halloween season. That's right. You can get some nice, high quality Halloween branded clothing. Check it out. Not Halloween branded. It's actually nice Bitcoin branded clothing. Very high quality. Great fit. Check them out, representltd.com. So for the Shitcoin Corner, we've got two stories today. We've got two stories. The first one, I mean, this is just absolutely hilarious. And just, you know, another reason why we don't waste our time on shitcoins. Like, there's a reason why we clown them, and it's because it's bullshit. Okay, so here we go. This is a tweet from @AlexValadis. So just to recap, the Mango Markets situation. Hacker exploits Mango for $100 million. Hacker turns around and offers to return most funds if DAO promises to pursue, the criminal investigations. Hacker uses 32 million votes from the exploit to vote yes. That's right.
I think I remember now. I think I sent this one to you, Phil.
Yes, you did.
You, this is so crazy. Like,
this is ridiculous.
It's exactly how you expect shitcoins to go, right? Like, fuck shitcoins. Like, it's...
I mean, the guy hacks it and then literally uses their voting system. This is why the voting is nonsense bullshit, okay? I remember getting sucked into these governance tokens.
Again, DAOs are not decentralized. They are not autonomous. In this case, it seemed it was organized, but they're not usually organized either. Nonsense.
It's just words. I mean, I kid you not. At this point, everything that we've seen out of the altcoiners, it's always just words. Decentralization to them is just a word. I mean, at this point, they're already up to like what, Web 5? I mean, Web 3 is still rug pulling noobs, you know? Like, people are still wasting their money on NFTs. And like, all they do is just create these terms, and then you create this ecosystem with bullshit vaporware around it, and then act like it's a thing. It's not a thing. It's garbage. Anyways, Tip, any thoughts on this?
I agree. I think it's absolute bullshit. And a lot of the stuff is redundant. I mean, if you just take a second to learn about the history of what's already happened over the past couple of decades, the fact that like staking system and user control don't go hand in hand, instead of kind of just like blindly following a 16Z off the cliff, you'll understand kind of like why no other VC-backed or like state-backed, like just any central power inventions are even comparable to what Bitcoin's trying to do. And it's just like, it's redundant, and there is no incentive for people to choose to exist in an ecosystem where they can be taken advantage of like that, if they're not at the top of the pyramid. It's right now, it's just like, looking at that stuff, it's just like laughably intellectually dishonest level of like illogical. I don't get it. It's a waste of time. We should reallocate the brain power of humanity towards the programmable state of energy of Bitcoin and just move the fuck on, because this is just like, ugh.
Right? It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's super frustrating. And you know what? This is the reason why we do this type of segment. Okay. And it's specifically because everybody needs to be reminded how stupid some of this shit becomes. Okay. And speaking of which, what we're about to dive into right now, I think is really peak level stupidity. I mean, in the past, I've covered stuff like injecting Bitcoin into a mouse and stuff like that, like these kind of stupid. And of course, they have a token attached to it, right? So they put the private key in the mouse, but then they have another shitcoin that you can trade. So my point is that this story is along those lines of absolute stupid fraud. All right, so here we go.
All right.
Let's dive into it. And actually, before we start it, just want to give a shout out to Flacco, or people might remember him as Wolfnode or Lord Hoddle. He's a low-key pleb, and he's the one that gave me this story. That's right. Everybody needs to know where all the stories come from when I remember who gave them to me. this one's cringe. This one is definitely cringe. Here we go. I'm not going to bore you guys with the white paper. I just have to start it off. I just need to preface this with their white paper main page. Impact4.us. Very clever, the .us. I like that. Anyways.
I mean, they advertise the rainbow on the front cover, in fairness.
Just wait. Yeah, hopefully you guys are going to be able to help explain this to me. We build differently. We own differently. We invest differently. We build for generation. Well, I got to tell you guys right off the bat, I feel warm and fuzzy, and this makes me very excited. Very excited. All right, let's dive into it. Here we go. Here's their website. Very nice, right? Cheering people in paradise. They're having fun. You saw the swing over there. She's having a good time. Here you go. Impact for us. Our ethos is simple. Build generational wealth consciously. Own and use properties you invest in. Liquidate anytime with tax advantages. Okay. All right. So now you kind of have an idea that this has to do with investment, of course, and possibly properties. All right. So maybe we're talking about land.
When it says, one sec, Phil, it says liquidate anytime with tax advantages. Do they mean that they're going to rug you at any time and you can write that off as a capital loss? I think that's what that means. Probably.
It's just words. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. So pictures of like somebody's theme park. Okay, let's keep going. So here we go. Project one. Okay, this is where it gets interesting. They're showing you pictures of homes, the plaza and retail center, the private island, and the adventure in splendor, which, don't get me wrong, all look like stock images. Okay, just saying. We have vetted and begun investing into one of the most exciting growth potential markets on the planet. So in case none of you were aware, real estate has one of the most exciting growth potentials on the planet. It just sounds ridiculous. Like, do they honestly think that people don't know about buying and selling property? I just don't get it. Okay, anyways, look. So here's their current holdings. You still haven't even, like, you're all sitting here wondering, like, why the hell am I watching this? I don't understand. What do these people do? Just wait. I'm getting to
Phil,
it.
You know that guy, there was that guy a couple of weeks ago that spent 300 grand or something on a four-bedroom house in Miami in a virtual world or something. It was basically an NFT or something. I think this has just gone full circle. So that guy has now spent so much time living in the metaverse in his Florida mansion that he got for only 300 grand that now he's gone, hey, I could live in the real world.
No, but wait.
I think they're just going back for those customers. It's the scam just goes full circle.
There is no real world for these people, Walton. There's no real world. So take a look. Their current holdings in Nicaragua, okay? 430 acres on a lagoon. This picture of an event center, because I'm pretty sure there is no event center. I'm sure they just have this schematic. 12,000 square foot museum and an 11 room hotel that honestly looks like, you know, some type of a haunted house. Okay, so here we go. We've already acquired a series of unique properties to serve as our base investments for all club members, each serving distinct use cases for the areas of wealth growth through real estate ownership. Ah, there it is, real estate ownership. Arts and culture and community impact. Our starting properties encompass the three pillars on which our impact club will succeed: wealth growth, arts and culture preservation and development, and societal and cultural impact. I'm pretty sure I just said that all the way at the beginning of this paragraph. Anyways, this list continues to grow week after week, not day after day, not month after month, week after week, okay? Become a Genesis member and vote towards our investable projects. This is where the scam begins, okay? So you're not investing in a piece of land, okay, where you can go and, let's say, buy shares of a company where you have legal recourse if they screw you over or something like that. No, no, no. How about you buy some NFTs, which representing ownership in the land, okay? But look at these prices. Look, you could become an Eco Lagoon founder member. So not a founding member, mind you, but a founder member.
It does say one of one. It does say one of one. That sounds pretty scarce, bro.
It's the scarcest, okay? And there can only be one, okay? And it's $500,000. Then there's the tourism property founder member. There's also only one of one NFT for this as well. $500,000. The museum founder member. You guessed it. One of one. $500,000. Impact industry founder. Same thing. But if you just want to get in and be part of that Genesis Club, they've made 2,000 of this NFT for $5,000. So,
oh my God.
I honestly couldn't believe it when I first looked at this. I couldn't even believe that this was real. So think about it. We're going to summarize it. They tell you that they own properties. You don't get to own any of the properties, but you can buy the NFTs that represent the representations of the properties. I don't know. Tip, look, you know, when I first discovered you, I found you, we were talking about this before the show. I found you because you totally wrote, you made this amazing hip hop song, just totally trashing shitcoins. So I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on this? What did you think of the
it's
pitch?
Just like crazier layers and layers of abstraction. Like, that's where we're getting to right now, because everything has become so scarce because money isn't scarce, so everything can be pitched as being scarce. But just like a quick, like, kind of like, that website just looked like an AI generated pitch deck with all the buzzwords. That's what it looked like to me. And they're just like, let's just put up some numbers and see if we can just rug someone. It just had like zero effort. But yeah, it's just layers and layers of abstraction. We're seeing this everywhere, even with legit like funds and companies and stuff. Like, whoever poor soul falls for that, whatever poor associate in a VC firm looks at that and be like, hey, that's our next big unicorn. Like, I just feel so bad right now for them. It's just, they're looking for ways to allocate their melting dollar without understanding that Bitcoin exists. That's why all this other scams exist, because people are looking. There is demand for a way to store their dollar, and this is the solution that people are coming up with. And so, yeah, people are getting scammed.
In a world of abundant money, anything seems scarce, but if you have scarce money, we can have a world of abundance.
Absolutely. That's it.
And when we
say
anything, we just showed you anything.
It's desperate nihilism, right? Like the shitcoining often. Bitcoin is rational optimism. You know, you have a choice. You can either be a degenerate, or you can actually try and build sustainably for the future.
But it's actually a positive sign for Bitcoin, because this is the level of craziness that we need to reach, this peak crazy clown world, all that stuff, in order to cross the chasm for Bitcoin. So it's like, it's optimistic. Every news is optimistic.
You see these stories and you go, and your first thought is this real or is it not? And often you can't even tell the difference anymore. The memes are just kind of the same as real life stories. Yeah, what do they call it? They talk about the somehow the universe split or something. Phil, do you know what I'm talking about here?
No.
We're in like a parallel universe now, and that's why there's like all this weird stuff happening. Like, I don't know.
You mean like the flip side?
I know the one. It's like that.
Like an alternate timeline.
We're in the alternate timeline now, and that's why it's all breaking or something. I don't know.
Go ahead, Tip.
It's that, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what that effect is called, but it's like some people remember certain things in the past being different than other people.
The Mandela effect.
That's it, yeah. It's probably like, because human psychology, like we're like mentally breaking down because of bad money. That's probably what it is.
Memory is inherently flawed. Like you can store fake memories and believe that they're true. Memory is not. Well, sorry, especially when it comes to episodic memory, which is of events rather than semantic memory, facts and figures. Those don't really change, and often you can recalculate them. But nonetheless, don't trust your memory. Verify.
Before we end the segment, I just want to point out.
You always come back to me, Phil, and you say, "Is there anything else?" But do you want to ask Tip that first?
Huh?
Do you want to ask Tip, "Is there anything else first?" Or do I get to go?
Absolutely.
The last question is, if there is anything else for this section, then I say, fuck shitcoins.
Well, we didn't get to that point. I'm going to make my comment first.
All right, well then cut this bit out then, Phil. I was trying to ask the question subtly and it didn't work. All right.
You know what? Like, this stuff is something that I would want to watch as feedback for a viewer. Like, I love the raw humor of this all. So maybe you shouldn't cut it out. I don't know.
Maybe I won't. No, maybe I won't cut this out. Then that's okay. No, the only thing I want to say before I went to you, Walt, was okay. Look, Gigi once came on a podcast and explained essentially that the shitcoin scams are getting dumber and dumber. Because essentially, like, they just want to get to the lowest common denominator faster and faster, right? Like, you remember in 2017, you had the white papers, you know, they had websites, they had communities, like they were going to convince you.
I'm a 2018er, but go on.
Well, anyways, 2017, 2018, the ICO boom, everybody's white paper was going to be like the next best thing. Okay. Like, the white papers were amazing. The websites were well done. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And of course it was just a shitcoin, right? Because they essentially needed to create this idea that this could be competition, quote unquote, to Bitcoin. But of course, as people learn that these are all affinity scams and that none of these token projects actually need to have tokens to provide whatever service or product they claim to be providing, people have had to lower their expectations, but more particularly lower the barrier to scam entry. So now we've come to the point where the land doesn't exist, okay? And we're selling you one of one NFTs. like no joke here. You buy this picture for $500,000 and you're pretty much the only founding member of this thing. I mean, this is dumb as shit. Anyone should be able to see this as a scam. And yet, like Tip mentioned, I mean, you know, there is unfortunately more than likely somebody who is going to get taken by this.
Yeah, Walton. And it's actually...
Go ahead, Tip.
it's crazy because before this, I worked at a venture capital firm and we would see pitch deck, like thousands and thousands of pitch decks. And I started in 2018. We did come across those ICO kind of like boom, but it just feels like over time, as well as money became more abundant, opportunities became more abundant, like we were literally just like handing out money as well as VC firms. There were more, like all these new VC firms popping up. The level of effort that goes into pitching and pitch decks like there are good ones, but then you just see more shit ones. It just became crazy over the 3 years. You see worse and worse pitch decks. You see worse kind of just like how are these people quitting their day jobs and doing this? Like what is this? Like it just became so crazy that it was like, I didn't know what was going on. And at the time it was kind of like, is this normal? Is it just bull market? But I think it's fundamentally changed. Like Gigi said.
It's not just like, in the fiat world though. Like I know that for a particular Bitcoin mobile wallet app, one investor's due diligence on privacy went as far as Odell likes it.
Wasn't that Hexa Wallet? I don't know why, but for some reason that's what I'm thinking of.
No comment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember accurately. Walton, any final thoughts before we wrap up the segment?
Yeah, fuck shitcoins.
That's right. That's right. Fuck shitcoins. Okay. All right. So, without further ado, we are moving on to the Hopium.
The Hopium section brought to you by Crypto Cloaks. Now, if you go to CryptoCloaks.com and use the code PlebUnderground, you can get 5% off all of the goodies. My beautiful assistant, Philip, will be showing off some of these items. Here you see the Honey Badger. In it, there's a secret drawer you can keep your signing devices or your entropy dice. Here you see Phil's. Also, the Hodlnort helmet. If you buy one, 50% goes to the Defending BTC.com campaign to support Hodlnort and other plebs in the fight against evil. Once again, that's CryptoCloaks.com. So this week, some hopium. So what happened was some bankers didn't like when a rapper talks, and they found it wasn't only Jesus walks. Kanye got kicked off banking, basically. Let me share the story right here.
So they unbanked Kanye? Is that what you're saying? He's getting debanked?
I think that's what happened. Something like this. All right, let me just show that a bit better. Yeah. Kanye West reportedly kicked out of JP Morgan Chase and his accounts will be closed. So not your what is it? Not your bank, not your bank, I guess, is the point. Not your keys, not your coins, except it's fiat, so you can't really self-custody it anyway properly. Kanye, you need to adopt Bitcoin. You need to tell everyone about Bitcoin. And I think it might have been Optimist who said, like, if Kanye could probably be the single biggest driver for Bitcoin adoption, which is probably slightly crazy, but I also think maybe slightly true. It is bizarre the extent to which pop culture figures have on influencing the masses, but can't lie, I like a bit of Kanye. I'm not sure I necessarily listen to everything he has to say, but I'm sure many, many do. So, Phil, I think this is pretty bullish, but
I mean,
he'll probably just go to another bank and they'll, you know, he'll get some kickback. I don't know. Like, there's lots of fiat games to be played. Is he going to adopt Bitcoin? I don't know.
Somebody's going to want his business, right? So I think we should back up. So look, this is the beauty of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the money of enemies. And what does that mean? That means that we all do not have to agree, and we can all get to use Bitcoin. And what we're seeing increasingly is that our fiat money is not like that at all. Apparently, if you're not saying the right things or hanging out with the right people, well, guess what? Your bank account disappears. Maybe you don't have access to the services you thought you did, and that stuff goes away. I mean, this should be a huge wake-up call. This should be a major warning. I may not agree I may not agree or disagree with what Kanye said, but I'll tell you this. I don't think the bank should have any freaking right to take away his access to his money, because at the end of the day, That is where he chose to store his value.
I don't think they're cutting him off quite, Phil. It's more like...
No, they're forcing him out.
They've served an eviction notice. Yeah. They've told him he's got like 30 days to get all his money out. But I don't know if... hopefully he doesn't have that five grand a day cap like the normal people. Because I imagine Kanye might have more than a couple of Yeezys in his bank account.
Yeah, it's, you know, the banking system for any of the normies out there, and when I say normies, I just mean people who don't normally have, you know, like $500,000 or more in their bank accounts. When you're moving a couple of hundred bucks here and there, you don't really notice it. But when you start to move these bigger amounts, the banks notice and they don't like it, even though that's their whole freaking job. Like, I mean, literally, they are the custodians of money. I mean, I remember being in high school, the janitor had no choice to pick up the garbage. He didn't get to choose what garbage stayed, what garbage left. So to me, with the bank, it's the same thing. They don't get to choose what money stays, what money leaves. It's up to you. You are the owner of that money. You get to move it. And of course, that's not true.
The incentives aren't aligned because that's not how they make their money. They don't.
We're not
make
the customers of the bank.
They don't
apparently.
Make their exactly, yeah, because they don't make their money on deposits, they make it on loans and they make it on bonds on the other end. They're not making it on customer deposits. That's not where their income from. So therefore the incentives are not aligned for them, their service to be good to depositors.
Tip, do you see a lot of stories like this coming out of New Zealand, or any stories like this?
I guess like debanking. Yeah. Like my partner tried to create a Bitcoin DCA platform like a couple of years ago, was debanked so many times, like just kept blocking his bank account. He just could not do anything. The banking cartel is like, I mean, like you said, it's just not in their incentive to make it easy for competition. But this is kind of like, this is hopium and awesome news for Bitcoin, because it is literally a wake-up call for everyone in the world. Like, even if you're Kanye West, you can't escape this. You can't escape this sort of, like, debanking is a form of censorship. And if the bigger picture is like,
yes,
question.
Because money is speech. Money is speech.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you have to question whether you have freedom of speech anymore. And it's not freedom if it's reduced to the spectrum where someone can draw the line between, okay, this is okay to say, this is not okay to say. And the bigger question is, who gets to draw that line? Like, why is one form of discrimination, selective censorship, okay, and another form of discrimination through speech not okay? Like, who gets to make these rules? Who gets to break them? And it's like, I was just thinking, like, once you start asking the bigger questions, like, is it because censorship isn't actually a fair blanket punishment? Because if it is, then a lot of people have been discriminated against, you know, like racist tweets and stuff. All those people should be debanked, right? If this is what the frame of the justification for debanking someone is, because they said something racist, there's like millions of people that should be debanked right now, but they're not. And the reason that this person got debanked is because they said something very specific to a certain group of people who have the power to make it happen for him to get debanked. And so it's political. Money is not neutral. It's not even about the money anymore. It's about who controls the money. And that's a bigger question every single normie, even if you don't like Bitcoin, should be asking yourself, like, what can happen to you? And why are you willing to let your freedom go like that? Like, wake up. Like, wake the fuck up. That's what this article does.
I totally agree. And I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, it goes back to your point. They shouldn't. It's such a touchy topic, the debanking. Okay. Like, the debanking is such a touchy topic because it opens up the door to so much abusive behavior. It really does. And it's just like, why would you, of all the freaking cards you can pull, why would you pull that one? That is just the dumbest shit.
I like it. It's
great for us.
It's a great advertisement for why self-custody of your store of wealth, your store of value is important. And it's only, you know, it's Bitcoin or gold that you have that with, and gold is much more difficult to, you know, firstly to store, but also it doesn't really, you know, it's been gone down, I think, in 10 years, right? Anyway, you know, do you see what I mean? Like, there aren't many bearer assets, and Bitcoin's the only one worth having.
It really is, and it's the only one the governments can't touch.
Exactly. With this sort of censorship, you need to have bearer store of value.
I'm glad you brought this article up. I saw that happen this week, but the thing is that this week there was so much stuff, as always, right? There's always so much, so we got to sit there and we got to pick and choose, you know, which ones we're going to talk about. That was awesome. So, is there anything else on the Hopium, my friend?
No, you just got to every week get harder, better, faster, stronger.
That's right. Very well said. Very well said. That's right. Keep moving forward. All right. Well, that wraps up the Hopium segment. We are going to dive right on into the interview portion with our special guest, Tip Enzi. Now, as I said earlier in the show, I had stumbled into Tip's work one day on Twitter when I found myself just, you know, rolling on the floor laughing at this amazing, amazing little rap video debunking and totally destroying shitcoins. So, Tip, when did you start? I'm gonna ask you like multiple questions, okay? All in one shot. So, when did you start doing these videos? Why did you start doing these videos? And do you have any more videos that are coming?
Yes. When was 2020? Why was that's a kind of a very big question. Yep. and also, any more videos coming? Yes, I do. So, kind of just zooming out a little bit of like how I even got into Bitcoin in the first place. I love trying new things, and that has led me to Bitcoin and kind of helped me build conviction in Bitcoin. But prior to this, like, people always are surprised because my background is like so antithesis of Bitcoin. Like, it's traditional finance with a political upbringing, and it is very much like I look back and I feel very blessed to have gone through that system, because I feel like you need to live and breathe that system to understand where the weaknesses was. So I would say, like, even though I got into Bitcoin late 2020, my partner's been in it for much longer than this, but the build up to actually get me to understand Bitcoin and latch on it so fast was because there's all these things kind of in my experiences that kind of led me to understand, oh shit, this is the solution I've been looking for. So grew up, my dad was in politics. He was deputy prime minister of Thailand for a while. It was a crazy time. Thailand was a proof, like, politics is a proof of stake system, and effort did not matter. It was the connections that matter. And I remember, like, my dad trying to make a change inside the system. They didn't like that. He tried to start a new political party. I went campaigning with him. We did the work. We didn't buy votes. And so since it's a proof of stake system, it didn't work. And so that was kind of my first lesson of like, fuck, life is unfair. What is this? Politics doesn't make sense. How are we going to change anything? This is stupid. So I thought going to finance, like, that money is where, like, money speaks. We can change the world through capital allocation. So I went to finance, went to like traditional finance, where I was investing in public equities, and also invested in private equity through venture capital, and realized, like, holy crap, looking back, everything centralizes, like everything, every decision it stems from this central power, because we all fundraise from this money spigot. And this money spigot are also the people who make the rules for how to allocate capital through regulation. And so this incentivizes people who want to keep getting access to capital to comply and virtue signal. And the consequence of that is that our world is like, it's literally shaped by this restrictive views of the self-selected few. And some days I would wake up, especially in 2020 during COVID, I'd wake up and be like, I'm just following orders. I feel like I've been pitched as this trendsetter, this kind of like, we're investing in the latest investments. But then we got all these kind of like, we need to be more focused on ESG. We need to be, you know, more, we have to disclose everything. We have to start factoring in carbon calculations. It was like, what is going on? I don't know what's happening. This is really hard. Like, you're making my job really hard. But then kind of zooming out, being in finance, you realize it's money go round game. It's a very large casino. And there are rule makers and rule breakers, and you're just like part of this cog. And it was just, it was that moment where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I woke up crying. I was just like, I don't want to be a part of this. I can't do this. It was the same feeling of going to campaigning with my dad, like, and we didn't get what we, you know, we put in the work, but we just didn't get anything out of it. I just felt like my soul was being sucked out of all of this. And my partner's been Bitcoin for a while, and he showed me like an Alex Gladstein video about talking about Bitcoin for human rights. And I remember watching it again. I was crying. Like, it's just, it's such a powerful emotion where I'm just like, holy crap. Like, this is, Bitcoin is the solution. Like, Bitcoin removes the abstract power of politics, and it resists the force of centralization of the proof of stake system, and the weaknesses in the systems that I've been experiencing my whole life, the corruptibility of it all is solved by Bitcoin. And that is such a powerful message where I'm like, if I do one thing in my life, this is spreading this message to the world is the most important thing I can be doing with my life right now. It is not working for a venture capital firm for the rich to get richer. It is not working for politics where I'm just a puppet. I need to use my voice and actually like sit the fuck down and learn and just learn and stop being so narrow-minded. Stop thinking that I'm climbing this arbitrary, like random corporate ladder. Just break out of that world and just look at it from a completely different angle. And so I started reading and writing down notes. And at the time, like TikTok was just kind of, you know, taking off. So I started off creating videos on TikTok, and like the attention span of a person today is so short that I'm like, if I'm going to get this message across, I have to be very effective. And so I started writing raps, music videos, whatever it is, like little videos, and just trying to get the message out there as succinctly as possible. So kind of that's how I started.
That's awesome. I totally did not expect that story. See, this is what's amazing, right? This is what's amazing about talking to fellow plebs, like that background story. I mean, you know, it's so interesting what brings Bitcoiners, you know, what brings Bitcoiners here. And it's so funny to, you know, to hear, I shouldn't say funny. Funny is a bad, you know, like a bad way to say it, but I find everything entertaining. But it's just so like, it's just so incredibly powerful that you were involved in politics at that level, and you get to, you know, I think that people really underestimate how powerful it is to see the rot firsthand. And I got to see it firsthand myself. And honestly, like it look, once you see it, you can't unsee it. But the thing is that prior to Bitcoin, we had nothing. I mean, you know, people would sit there and talk about gold, but don't get me wrong. Like, it's like, I'm a Gen Xer. I was already orange pilled before the orange pill ever even existed. I knew that our money was crap, and I was trying to figure out how I'm going to get out from this. We had nothing. Like, gold did not appeal to me. Silver did not appeal to me.
Right. And so we're only doing this mutual funds bullshit, like index funds. It's the only all fucking bloated.
It is literally the only magic trick in the book. Literally the only trick that you have is to play the game along with everyone else, because you had nothing else. Bitcoin literally allowed us to opt out. So Tip, that was absolutely amazing. Walton, do you have any comments or Tip before we ask her the next question?
I have to say, I'm very impressed that like she's been able to let me get this right, be doing a handstand on the ceiling for the entire of this episode, so that she's perfectly orientated for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. So thank you very much, Tip.
Just leave it to Walt. No, we appreciate your ability to do gymnastics. Okay, so Tip, tell me this. Creepy. Huh? Sorry? Okay. So Tip, tell me this. What is on the horizon for the future?
Yeah. Well, I am there's just so many things. Like, Bitcoin is constantly changing, and there's so many like opportunities and avenues everywhere. So right now I'm just like, I'm taking my time. I'm having fun. I'm just trying to play around with different ways to be creative in the Bitcoin world that is not just content, but I know that I love content creation as well. So I'm making time for that. And the next thing that I'm releasing, currently working on, is a 6-minute short film about Bitcoin called The Great Resistance. It was supposed to be published this week, but I keep iterating on it. So it will come out soon, but it has, yeah, it's I'm excited about this one too.
That sounds amazing. Don't be paralyzed by the analysis, right? The paralysis of analysis. So it's like it'll never be perfect. Even once it's perfect, you're gonna find some reason why it's not perfect. So just get it out there and let us yeah. retweet it, and let us watch it, and everything. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to pressure you.
No, absolutely. It's a balance.
Even Bitcoin wasn't perfect when it came out, right? Like we needed.
How could
Segwit.
You say that, Walton?
I believe we needed Segwit, you know, like amongst other things for to help scale, but like. You know, we'll see. I hear
next, you're gonna
like,
say there's trade-off.
The trigger in my head goes if I say one like. Now this is good. I think I'm gonna cut it out myself.
I definitely agree. Like it's a bit of a trade-off where each of my content, like I know I'm just having fun with it, but the more I make it, the more I make and iterate on content, the bigger my ambition becomes. I'm like, I want this to last for decades. I want people to come back and view this and be like, you know, it makes sense. Like it's comprehensive. And so each of my content, I'm trying to like cram as much as possible so that I'm not like missing out anything. But it is a trade-off and I will be publishing it soon. But yeah,
I have one last question for you before I go to Walton to see if he has anything to ask you. What is your biggest block when you're creating content? Like, is it something reoccurring, or is it something different, or maybe you're one of those people who just doesn't have a block? You know what I mean? And like the imagination just flows all the time, and it's always just great ideas, you know?
Definitely have blocks, and they're definitely all different times as well. It can be from like, what message is the most important thing to be focusing on right now? I don't want to be repetitive. I want to do new things. I don't want to fall into that trap of like, oh, I don't want to fall into the Jemima trap where I'm successful at something in the past and I keep doing it. And it's just like, that is my worst nightmare. That's why I like trying new things. I want to keep moving forward and doing things that I've never thought about before. And so, that period of time where I was constantly creating 2-minute clips and stuff, that was great, but I don't want to be known as that 2-minute clip video girl. I want, there's so much more in Bitcoin and I'm just exploring all of that right now.
So what you're saying is that your fans can expect more than just the tip.
So good. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to steal that one. Yeah.
Walton,
yes.
Do you have any questions or comments to tip?
I understand the difference, but I think maybe some of our listeners don't understand the difference between Australia and New Zealand, or rather between Australians and Kiwis. Perhaps you could highlight one similarity and one major difference between your two nations and the people that inhabit them.
Yes. Similarities is we're like fans of rugby, I guess, and we wear jandals, and we both think Pavlova is our invention, and we're both kind of ignored at the bottom of the world compared to like Europe and America. I guess that's kind of like the similarities. And the difference is that like New Zealanders get very angry if you get us mixed up with Australians, and Australians don't really care that much if they get us mixed up with New Zealand. They like New Zealand. So it's hilarious. I've lived in both places.
You think you're better than them, and they go, oh, it's okay. We get caught. They think we're better. So they recognize that is what you're saying. You're better and they recognize. Right. Yeah, T-Bone Aussie, she's calling you out.
I have a question. I thought I had the last question, but now I have another question. What's a jando?
Oh, jandals. Sorry. Jandals are like flip-flops, and you see them, people wear that all the time.
Wait, so I thought in Australia they call them thongs, right?
Yes, yes. So New Zealanders call them jandals, yeah. Australians call them thongs.
In Australia,
yeah.
Is like the flip-flops that go between your toes.
So it's all just sandals. It's all just flip-flops.
Yes.
It's all just flip-flops. Pretty much. Okay.
They're just words. They're all just words. Like at the Harvening, they're all just words. The same thing.
All right, cool. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Walton, anything else?
No, it's been fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So Tip, this is the fun part. This is the part where you get to shill. How do people find you?
Twitter.
What's the best place? What's the best place for them to find you but not annoy you?
I guess just Twitter, at tip_NZ. That's where you can find me. No one annoys me. Reach out if you want to. And yeah, I love talking to people and I love meeting people who've seen videos and can give me feedback and stuff. So please say hi.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're also going to include your link tree, which gives all the links to all of your, to all of your content right now. Thank you again so much for joining us on the show. And guys, this wraps up another episode of The Pleb Underground. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. And of course, if you want to stream us sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You can stream us sats through Breeze. Politics is a proof-of-stake system.